Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, those are clear words. Yeah, and the whole epistle of James, if you read it 5 times, the Lord will really speak to you. Yeah, Lord, give us such a heart this morning that we are humble before your word. Give us your light and your healing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Humble before God. I really appreciate it. The Lord wants us to reach the goal. And the beginning of James, the epistle of James, you see why are you born in the Spirit? Not that we become rich and successful, that's not the goal. But that we a first fruit of His creation. And that's why we are born in the Spirit. And we are in this world, and it's good because the Lord makes use of it to test our faith. But the goal is not to be someone in great in his world, but he says you have to humble yourself before him, and then you will receive his grace. And this goal to be first fruit of his creation, that's what the Lord says. Yeah, be patient until the coming of the Lord. He wants to receive a fruit. And Yesterday we talked about the rich in chapter 4. And the rich is really the opposite of a slave. You see in these parables, the slaves, they receive something from the Lord, and then they deal with it, and bring forth fruit and profit. Yeah. And here in chapter 4, you see there are also people that are buying and selling and make a profit. But you see, it is not what the Lord wants. Yeah, we have to buy and sell and make profit with the things that the Lord has given us. And this is really connected to the second coming of the Lord. Yeah. So now we live in the last days, and the Lord says it is like the days of Noah. And what did people do? Eating, drinking, getting married. And they didn't realize it's a time of the coming of the Lord. So when do you keep a feast? If you just have enough to eat, you will not keep a feast. But if you have more than you actually need, you can keep a feast. Yeah, that's a rich guy. Can do that, yeah. Then a rich guy can keep a feast, and then very quickly, you are distracted of the coming of the Lord if you do that. And that is the warning here, because if you have a lot of treasures, if you heap up treasures in the last days, you need a lot of workers to take care of it. And verse 5, then you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury and have fattened your hearts. And then even you have condemned, you have murdered the just. Yeah, and the Lord said, the Lord has slaves in his household to give food to the others, to the other saints. They should be servants of the others. But there's this one slave saying, my Lord will not come so quickly. And what is the result of this attitude? And he starts to eat and drink and to even get drunk. Okay. And this is really a warning. It's not only for the super rich, but once I start to heap up treasures and to buy gold and silver, eventually there's no profit of these things. Then at some time you will lose focus on the coming of the Lord. To be a first fruit of His creation. We should really wait for the coming of the Lord. Focus on the coming of the Lord. Now after this conference, we want to go on, but it needs patience, endurance. And if you're a student, you don't know what's coming after your studies, but then once you're at work, you realize, it's just your daily life, you work, and you get so much money and more that you actually need. And then how is it? Do I still focus on the coming of the Lord? Do I really give my life for Him? or do I start to heap up treasures? I have a lot of plans for my future. And therefore, we need endurance and wisdom from above. I really told the Lord many times, I don't have the wisdom. How can I keep this Feast of Tabernacles in this time, in these last days? Give me wisdom how to deal with all these things. Lord. And then verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Why? Because very quickly we fall asleep. And the Lord, if the Lord would came next week, it would be easier because it's not such a long time. But what if it takes longer? If he comes in the second or third night watch, then if we're still awake and we're still waiting for his coming, and if we are those preparing the food for the others, then he says we are really blessed. And this is really have to practice, not only to do that for 1 week or 1 month, but constantly, to do it with endurance. And then in verse 7, he goes on and says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. And if you sour something, it's not like you receive the fruit immediately. It needs some time. And that's therefore the Lord says, we should receive the word with meekness. Now in this time, now when the Lord spoke his word to us, it should not only be a teaching, but like a living word planted into our hearts. There's not immediately a change. The fruit and the change, it needs time, and patience. And the Lord wants to receive this fruit, the precious fruit of the earth. On this earth, there's so many strange plants and fruits, so to speak, but the Lord wants a precious fruit. We should not look on the others surrounding us and how this world develops, but we should focus on bringing forth a precious fruit for the Lord. And why does it need endurance? Because there's so many trials. The early and latter rain. Sometimes we wish like the fruit just come forth automatically. But how do you receive the early and latter rain? Can you do something to receive the rain? You cannot buy rain or produce rain. But in Psalm 84, there's a key. I will read it. Blessed is the man, verse 5. Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. So when they pass through the valley, then they make it a spring. That is the early rain. if you go through trials, then the Lord will give the rain. And without the trials, we cannot reach maturity. But here it says, yeah, the rain also covers it with pools. So it is not coming from your own strength. Yeah, if you're in this valley, it's not like you're so happy and rejoicing and strengthened in the spirit, no. But it is possible that it becomes a pool of rain. Yeah. If you humble yourselves before the Lord and you cry out to the Lord, yeah, it is not tears about my own condition, but tears before the Lord. And that's the key we all have in our hands. Yeah, you don't have to be so strong, but you should cry out to the Lord. And then the Lord will give the rain and resurrection. Praise the Lord. And then he says in verse 8 in James 5, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And the Lord is really at hand. Yeah, establish your hearts. And let us not be distracted now that we are so close to the goal. Yeah, it is. In the beginning, it is normal that we are not so stable, established. But the Lord wants to establish us. And how is the heart being established? It is by grace, like Hebrews says. It is not like through theoretic knowledge, but it is by the grace of the Lord. And this is really precious that we can serve each other. If we see someone is going through trials, then we should really serve the saints with grace. Yeah. Like the Lord said in James 1, in the last verse, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And this is really precious, yeah, because they have no one. And it is really wonderful to do that. But if I shut down, close my heart, and I'm like, okay, look for yourself how to deal with your situation, then it's not good, because we are here to also give grace to others, yeah, to establish the hearts of others. And if you do that, the Lord will reward you. Yeah, there will be a great reward. And sometimes when I'm in trouble, then I'm really thankful for all reminders from others about what the Lord wants to actually accomplish in us. And sometimes if you're in trials, you only see these big mountains before you, but you forget about what the Lord told you. So we ourselves has to establish our hearts, but also give grace to others and remind others that the Lord wants us to reach the maturity. And James 5, it is really this warning again. The Lord wants to have these fruits. Yeah, and when you see the fruits and they are almost matured, but then there's like a worm corrupting the fruit, then it's really a pity if this happens right before the fruit matures. And so the Lord really warns us, yeah, if there is a mourning or an offense, which we really heard many times, several times in this conference. It should not corrupt the fruit for the Lord. Yeah, I don't want to miss the kingdom because of any offense or mistake. Yeah, and it says in verse 9, do not crumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. So this is really showing what's the result if I'm crumbling against Sultan, for example. Yeah. And it says here, lest you be condemned. Yeah. So Sultan will not condemn myself, but God will do it if I crumble against the saints. And the enemy will really try to make us crumbling and take offense, but we should not give any space, any room to the enemy. And then verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of preaching. No, that's not what he's saying there. He's not saying learn from those who are good speakers. No, but as an example of suffering and patience. So do we have examples of suffering and patience? Sometimes when I see brothers and sisters going through trials, they're really examples in patience and sufferings. And then he talks about Job, and it is really a wonderful picture how he was how he was perfected through trials. And you know the story of Job. In the beginning, he lost everything. And Job said, no, the Lord gave me everything and he took it away. So the name of the Lord shall be glorified. And Job didn't sin. But then the next level, yeah, after he lost all of his goods, then there was another level which was even tougher. And in Job 2, verse 9, it says, then his wife said to him, that's after Satan approached the Lord again and said, now you blessed Job, but now if you touch himself, then let's see how he reacts then. And the Lord lets it happen. And then his wife said to him, to Job, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. And such thoughts are really common if you are in trials, that you think like, what if, and how do I get out of this? But this is the wisdom from below. Yeah, it is earthly, soulish, and demonic. And Job really saw through and said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept God, a good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And now he talks about the lips. So he didn't sin with his lips. Amen. Oh Lord. And may Job be an example for us, yeah, in endurance and patience. Yeah. Because these thoughts, yeah, it doesn't matter if they come from outside or if it's our thoughts, the wisdom from below will try to make us fall. Yeah. But Job did not sin with his lips. And even the friends of Job, eventually, they have to approach Job, and he has to pray for them. And why? Because the Lord says they didn't speak in the right way of God. But Job, he really made it through the trials. And praise the Lord. The Lord makes use of all these things to perfect us. And it doesn't always have to be a big trial like with Job, but our lips, our speaking, how do we deal with it? Yeah, are we do we hold fast to the Lord and focus onto the goal, or do we draw back? So may Job be our good example to endure, and the Lord is really graceful and merciful. Yeah, he's full of grace. Yeah, and praise the Lord. I think to summarize these things, you see that all these chapters of James, they are really summarized in chapter 5 with the focus on the coming of the Lord. The Lord prepared trials so he would receive first fruits of his creation. So then there would be no space, no room for the enemy, but that we would endure and wait for his coming. Yeah, maybe really work with this word, labor with this word until the fruit comes forth. Amen. Amen.
Go to James 5 one more time to see one more point here. James 5. Come, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Indeed, you have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your heart as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient. It's really a description of this world. A description like what we see in this whole world today. It's really like it's written here. The whole world is in the hand of riches, of money. The Lord shows us very clearly through James. And The Lord shows us clearly what will happen with these riches. The Lord says they shall weep because of the miseries that will come upon them. If we put our trust in riches today, we already know that it will not remain. And this is what we really need to realize today. It's good if we are aware of this. This whole world is the devil's building. The Lord made this earth. But the world as a system is what the devil has created. This dominion of riches and money. This is not from God. This is from the devil. You have dominion, respect of person, politics. This is the system of this world. A system created by the devil to capture and enslave people. And this system, okay. And this system is what rules this earth and what rules mankind. And it captures people. And it's good if we see this and if we are aware of this. Even today, it says here, it's the riches who drag the poor to court. We can see how rich people enslave the poor people. And that's what we see today. People are kept in tyranny. And this is exactly what we see today. We do our work. And still we see there's so much tyranny, enslavement. Where does this come from? This comes from the devil. The devil uses people who have power and money to enslave the poor and humanity. Yeah, like our brothers and sisters here. They have worked in the medical sector for decades. But suddenly they're experiencing tyranny. Why? Because power and money is what rules this world. This is the injustice we see on this world. And James is really exposing this. He shows that the end of these riches, he says they shall weep and howl. And I was reminded of Luke, this story about the poor Lazarus and the rich man. And this poor Lazarus, he didn't even have enough food, while the rich man was really enjoying his riches and suppressing the poor. But what was the end? We all know the end, that the poor Lazarus, he was in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich one, he was really suffering pain in the fire. He says, I just want my lips to be cooled. Luke 16, that is. But this will be the end of those who cling their heart to riches and to money in this world. And it's really good for us to see this. First Timothy 6, verse 10, it says, the root of all evil is the love for money. Can you imagine that the root of all kinds of evil is the love of money? There are so many things on this world that happen in politics, in society,
das ist nicht gut für mich. Nee, das ist zu laut. Aber es verwirrt mich eher. Ich kann ihn so gut hören. Also ich meine, das brauche ich ja nicht für die Aufnahme, oder? Ach so, ich habe es eben probiert. Ich habe es schon probiert.
So maybe we are not affected as much as other saints. But how is our reaction to this? And we see here in verse 4, going back to James chapter 5 now, verse 4, indeed the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. What do we do when we see this injustice in this world? How people are suppressed, how they are tyrannized. What do we do? Here it says, the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. It says here, we have a Lord of hosts. We have to see him. We have this Lord of hosts, and to him we should cry. The injustice in this world, we should not be careless about it. This system of this world, money and dominion, we need a cry to the Lord when we see this. It is against the Lord and against mankind. Let us cry out to the Lord, and he will fight for us for justice. Maybe not tomorrow, but at his time he will accomplish justice. The cries of the reapers have reached the ears, amen, of the Lord of Sabaoth. How many things have we seen these past 2 years that were not right? So much injustice. Here at this school with the children, this is tyranny from the riches of this world. And they themselves, they don't even stick to these rules. But the little children, they are under this tyranny. Let us cry out to the Lord. And really see this, be aware of it. And then the Lord will bring forth justice at his time. Psalm 9. Verse 18. I want to read this briefly. Psalm 9, verse 18. Verse 17 in English. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Praise the Lord. This is really precious. So these past few months, we go through the Psalms in our lunchtime prayer. And so many times in the Psalms it says that God will help the needy ones, the poor ones. It's good for us to see this, and that we cry out to the Lord. And that we realize what is the end of this world, this system, that we do not agree with it, that we are not one with it. It's really a salvation for us that if we have this attitude that we want nothing to do with this world. But on the other hand, we should cry out to the Lord for righteousness. He says here in verse James 5 verse 7, that we should be patient. The Lord will come and bring forth justice. Maybe we suffer tyranny today. Maybe some of us, we don't get the wages of our labor and we experience injustice. But let us cry to the Lord and not accept this. And even if it does not affect you personally, cry out to the Lord if you see it affecting others. This is important. And the Lord will bring forth justice. And we are patient until the coming of the Lord. The Lord of hosts will come, and he will judge this whole world. And then the riches, who live in their riches today, in pleasure and luxury, who enforce this tyranny on others, they will experience what it says here, chapter 5, verse 1. They will have great miseries coming upon them. Like this rich man in Luke 16. It is a great warning, and we have to see this soberly. Amen. Lord, strengthen our endurance to be patient until your coming. Let us not give up before you come. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Amen. He is great, faithful, and just. Thank you, Lord, that you show us clearly the situation we live in. Yes, strengthen us to cry out to the Lord of hosts that you can come back quickly as the judge over this world. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. James 5, verse 9. Yeah, the psalm also says, let not man gain control. In verse 5 here, it says, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. This also spoke to me. Maybe I'm not so rich, but yet, it is so easy to live in pleasure and to only focus on my pleasure. So once something becomes too difficult, to just let it go. And this makes my heart fat, so that it cannot receive anything from the Lord. And I was thinking, of course there's this earthly pleasure James talks about here. But it's also so easy that inwardly, spiritually, you think you are so rich, like the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. So I realized again and again, I need to repent, turn, so that I don't focus also on spiritual pleasures, but on what the Lord wants to do. If I only look at myself, at my pleasure, I will not seek the will of God. I will just do what pleases me. And this will hinder God. When I think, it's so nice to stay in bed a bit, and now I need to eat something. If I live like that, I am not so free to follow the Lord anymore. So it is so good to seek the Lord and to keep our hearts pure. Not to fatten them with anything. Amen. These verses are very strong, very direct, and they speak to us. Praise the Lord. Let's have a break until 11:30.